Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you will find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Carla from a compulsive overeater from South San Francisco. Hi, Carla.
Hi. Thank you so much. Welcome home, everybody. I'm so excited to be with y'all today. I can't think of a more comforting and place I'd rather be than home. And I hope you can find your home here with us. It's been my experience. I am a short timer, so I have been here 4 years and 2 months. Which means I had lived already a lifetime for most people before I ever found Overeaters Anonymous. I had never heard of it. But as I look back on my life, as a young child and growing up, I lived in a home that was very loving. My parents and siblings and extended family all were very loving and doted on me. And I joke and tell everyone I was the fave. So that's kind of my nickname in our family. During that time, as far as my eating, I was raised in a home with World War II generation. And that both of my parents grew up on farms, both of them one of eight children. And so food was a very treasured thing in our home. Both of my parents had gone through the Depression. Both of my parents had gone through the war. And so my mother was a stay-at-home mom until the end of my elementary years. And so she cooked two meals a day. Usually breakfast wasn't cooked. But I was very regimented about my food. My entire years growing up, we ate at a specific time. We had a specific portion. We did not have a lot of extra food in our home, and we didn't have junk food in our home. So I was very protected as a compulsive overeater in my formative years growing up. But food was the most special time in our family. We all sat down at a table together. We all ate together at a specific time. My daddy would get off work at 5 p.m. in the afternoon in Amarillo, Texas, and the food was on the table at 5 p.m. and we all sat down and ate. And if you were not home as I got older in school activities, if I was not home at 5 o'clock, my portion of food was put in a black pan and set on the stove. We did not have microwaves then, so there was no such thing as eating that hot food hot anymore. So you got your cold food when you got home. But that was the way I grew up. And so I was so active in all sports in my town. We did not have girls' sports in school, but we had what you see a lot now, the boys and girls clubs. We had an organization like that. It was called Kids Inc. And so I got to play every sport on a girls' team. So I was real active. As I got older, and I have a sister 2.5 years older than I am, my best friend. And as soon as she got to drive, we would go to drive-ins and eat different kinds of food. It was just such a novelty to us to eat things that were not cooked by our parents at home. And so my food and the activity kept any kind of weight. At that time, I wasn't really conscious of overeating per se or eating unhealthy food. It was just so cool to do. I didn't really think about it. My compulsive overeating as a lifestyle and as a solution to being uncomfortable actually started at the death of my father when I was 24. And my daddy was my world. I could not imagine living without him. I really could not imagine what life could even look like. And so at that time, I was also 6 months pregnant for the first time. And during that pregnancy, I was one of those people that stayed sick 24 hours a day. And because of that, I had to keep something on my stomach. So I had to eat every few minutes. Needless to say, I gained 65 pounds in that pregnancy. Once I had that child, I was able to go back to portion control and get that weight off and just walk daily with him. Then 11 months later, I got pregnant again, had another baby, started it again. That time I could have cared less what was going on with food, because I had two under 17 months and I don't know what I was doing with food at that time. I do know it was no priority whatsoever. But as time went on, and my life got more complicated and life got lifey and other things happened, I kept up that eating every few minutes, because I was really unconscious of what it was doing for me at that time. If somebody would have said, "Are you a compulsive overeater?" I would have always said no. I didn't know what that meant. So I'd never heard that term. I had never heard about Overeaters Anonymous. I had done different diets through the years after I had my first two children, because I would gain weight and I would lose it and I would gain it. But it was never gaining too much and it was never losing enough. So it was that window of opportunity. Some event was happening. Oh, I want to look good for that, or I need to do this for that. I tell y'all the most heartbreaking thing, and I cannot, I'm still looking for this picture, because in my move from Texas to California 6 years ago, I don't know what I did with it. But there is a picture of me at my son's wedding, and this was in 1996. And I was so proud of the clothes that I'd gotten for this wedding. And I was so tickled about how good this was going to look. And I look at those pictures and it just breaks my heart. I was so big. I had gotten up to 265 pounds. And this dress, I looked like, if any of y'all that are my age know who Mama Cass is, that's what I looked like. And it broke my heart. And when I thought that day, I have this thing about when I was so heavy that if I had cool clothes, nobody would know how heavy I was. And it was like, I never wore anything that fit because I didn't want anybody to see, not realizing that probably it made me look bigger even than I was, because I didn't want anything touching me. But when I look back at that, I think I didn't know what I didn't know. Yes, I knew I was overweight. Yes, I was having physical problems from it. There were a lot of things I couldn't do, but I just kind of lived in a la-la-la-la land about it until I got a death diagnosis in a medical report. And I was 265 pounds. All of my blood work was horrible. When I went to the doctor, he told me, you know, you're killing yourself. And this is not going to end well. Well, I knew as soon as he gave me the diagnosis, I knew what it was. My husband's mother, and both of his sisters all passed from this disease. And they passed with horrible consequences, with horrible complications from this. I knew what was ahead for me. And it scared me senseless. And so I took that diet from that doctor that day in my fear. I was paralyzed by the fear of what I knew was ahead. And I went by that diet. I went by those suggestions and it did it perfectly for 5 years, and got up every day going, I'm going to live. I'm going to live. In the midst of, before this diagnosis, I also had a medical scare with breast cancer. And the day I was to have my breast cancer surgery, they couldn't do the surgery because my blood sugar was so high. And so I had to wait for a few hours. You would think I wanted to live more than anything, and I was going to do anything to survive that carcinoma. In fact, I never told people, nobody knew of the diagnosis. Nobody knew through the treatment. I was so fortunate in the kind that I had and the treatment that I had, and was absolutely delighted that I had survived this life-threatening diagnosis, and yet I was eating through the whole thing. In fact, I ate more from the stress of it. But when I went on this diet for 5 years, I thought I'd arrived at something. And so every morning during that time, there was items on a counter in front of my desk, in front of my office at work where I worked. And every day I would walk by them and they were irrelevant. And one morning I got this thought, you know what? I can eat anything I want to now because I know how to eat. I know how to do portion control. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to have one of those. And so I had one. And a few minutes later, I had another one. And then in a few minutes later, I had another one. And that began 9 years of me eating every few minutes. I don't mean eating several times. I mean, every few minutes. I slept very little. So I slept usually about 4 hours a night. So that meant I was eating 20 hours a day. It was absolutely horrible. And I could not stop. Now, by this time, I knew that eating this way was killing me. I knew what was ahead for me. And I would wake up in the morning with a catch in my throat. I'm killing myself. Today's going to be different. Because I honestly believed it was just willpower. And I had, at one point, I had enough willpower to do it. So I just needed to find that again. And so at night, I would go to bed going, I did it again, but tomorrow will be different. Y'all, tomorrow never came. And finally, in my desperation, I had had a medical procedure that I had to go on a soft food diet for a year. And that wasn't liquid, but it wasn't anything that you could chew. And so that the end of that was coming up, and I was fixing to be able to eat anything I wanted. And it scared me to death. I thought, if I can eat anything, I am going to eat everything. And I'm already killing myself. So now what? And so in my desperation that night, I cried out to my higher power and I said, please help me. I can't quit eating. And specifically came to my mind OA. And I went to my computer and Googled it because, you know, isn't that what we do now? If you have a question about anything, Google knows everything. I went to Google and I put in OA and Overeaters Anonymous came up. Y'all, I just began to weep. I knew that was my answer. I didn't care what it was. I didn't even read about what it was. I just saw the word meeting in bold. And there was a meeting the next morning at 9 o'clock. I turned off my computer and slept like a baby. I got up the next morning. I went straight to that church and nobody was there. So I drove around and I drove around, and then here came one car, and then here came another car, and I drove around again going, I was so scared. And I don't know what I was scared of, but anyway, I was just trembling, but I was in such a panic. I was literally in a panic. And so I walked in and two ladies were sitting at a table and I said, can y'all please help me? I can't quit eating. And they looked at each other and they looked at me and they said, they handed me the OA 12 and 12 and said, we're going to read the first step. And y'all, in that first step, changed my life forever. I found out I was a compulsive overeater. Who knew? I had no idea. I found out that there were specific foods that were just like alcohol to an alcoholic. They were alcoholic foods. And once I ate them, all my choices were over. Then my body took over. And it really wasn't my willpower. It was like a ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders. And at that time, I went home, I ordered every Overeaters Anonymous publication I could find, and I ordered all the literature, and I could not wait. I would just absolutely, I was like that person that just got rescued and they want to live everything in the next day. That's the way I was. I had no idea. How on earth am I going to go from eating every few minutes to three meals a day? I knew it when I left there intuitively, I had to go to three meals a day. And I was going, well, obviously if I could have do that, I would have done it. So now what am I going to do? And so I just began to read and I began to listen and I went to every meeting I could find. Fortunately, living in the San Francisco Bay Area and working 30 miles south, there were meetings all up and down the peninsula. Of course, y'all, this was pre-Zoom. So it was one meeting a week. I found one That one on Saturday morning. I found a different one on Saturday morning in San Francisco that the next week I went to. But as I greet people with welcome home, I want to tell y'all why that is such a special thing for me. So this was my third meeting. I went to a meeting in San Francisco. A lady met me at the door and she said, "Welcome home. We've been waiting for you. And we saved you a seat." And she led me to a chair, and she did that every Saturday until she left San Francisco. That did something to me that I really can't even describe, because I felt so out of place. I got to my first meeting, I didn't know what people were talking about. So I kind of want to go through that for newcomers, because it was so confusing to me, the terms people were using. It wasn't that I didn't know English, even though I do have a disclaimer. I'm from Texas, so I speak Texan, not English. But even with that, I knew the words. I knew what the words were. I just didn't have any experience to understand what they meant. So when I heard that the steps is where, that's the solution, working the steps. And I didn't know what the steps were. And then the next thing I heard was you have to have a sponsor to work the steps. Well, I had no idea what a sponsor was. And then they said, well, and then you have to be abstinent. What on earth is abstinence? I mean, y'all, it was like I had walked into some foreign language meeting and people were just blah, 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 blah. And I would just sit there going, okay, next. So the paper went around with numbers on it. I would call people and say, what did you mean when you said abstinent? What does that even mean? And so if you're a newcomer and this is not your very first meeting, you probably have experienced what I did. And people were talking about different ways of being abstinent. And I was going, okay, well, that's even more confusing. But here's what I did know. I knew what I was doing the day before my first meeting. And I knew that I had to stop doing that. And then I found out that it's a higher power that will empower you to walk this journey. And I thought, well, I've got that. I mean, I already have a relationship with the higher power. So we can just go on from that, having no idea. Y'all, I didn't know what I didn't know. And what I found out is that when we get here, when I got here, I had these attitudes, opinions, and beliefs that I had a death grip on, because they were underneath the whole foundation of my entire life. And I want you to know that everything that I believed and everything that I held on to started being challenged when I found out that these food, I have a body that when I eat these foods, it doesn't react like someone else can eat whatever they want to. I found out I can't eat whatever I want to. And so as I began to look at where I was when I got here, this is what is so vital for us as newcomers. Where are we right now? I had never stopped long enough to see what was going on with me. I was so busy looking at everybody else and blaming everybody else and justifying everything that I wanted to do the way I came up with whatever story so that I could do what I wanted to do and live with it, right? And so as I began to look at myself and I began to see what I was eating and those things that when I started eating them, now I never was a huge volume eater. I just ate real often, but I wouldn't eat just total packages of things. But I started thinking about those things that I eat that then in every few minutes, I have to eat some more of it. Or if I don't have that, I have to eat something. And so those are the things I began to eliminate. Well, it was amazing how that compulsion that I didn't even understand to explain, how that worked. When I quit eating all of that, I just got a little saner. That's the only way I can describe it. And then I just immersed myself in information, because I had to have information before I got transformation. And so as I read the OA literature, and then so 20 days in there, I go to all these meetings. These are all Overeaters Anonymous literature meetings I'm going to up and down the peninsula. A lady said, it across the table from me at that meeting I was talking about in San Francisco. And she was so full of joy. And she was talking about, she used to be like me and she wasn't anymore. I could not believe my ears. And so I wanted everything she had. never imagining that she would want to sponsor me. She was half my age. She was gorgeous. Here I am, this old lady going, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I texted her. She texted me right back. I was going to call you. So we started talking. She gave me one assignment when we talked. She told me two things. One, she told me no matter what your relationship is with your higher power, it's going to change. I scoffed at that because I thought, you don't know my higher power. I didn't know what I didn't know. I told you. The second thing she said is, it's not about the food. Well, I certainly scoffed about that. I thought, it might not be about the food to you. It is everything about the food to me. I didn't know what I didn't know. I really thought food was my problem. I had no awareness that food was my solution to all my problems. And so as we began working together, first thing she said is, we're going to work through the big book. And I went, what's a big book? And so she told me, go to an AA central office and get you the Alcoholics Anonymous big book. I said, okay. Well, y'all, the big book is the most phenomenal information tool on the planet. And so I got that. And she said, okay, now read the first 164 pages, write down every must and every have to. Once you get that done, call me. Well, y'all, I called her in 2 days because that's all I did. That's all I did was read that. Well, here's what the must and have to. And then we talked about those. And she said, here's a roadmap of where you're going. So are you willing to do what the first 100 did to get what the first 100 got? I said, I'm willing to do anything. And I really was, y'all, as far as I knew, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what this was. Here's one thing I knew. This is where my healing was going to come from. And so as I began to read the big book, y'all, we didn't even read the prefaces. And if you're a newcomer, I really do encourage you to read the big book from the very first page. I just started on page one. I didn't even read the prefaces. And so I want to cut to my experience with the big book. Is one of those books that every time I read it, somebody puts something else in there that I haven't read before. It's like, I know this wasn't in there before. Don't try to tell me that this was already here. It's incredible. You can't explain it. But wherever you are, you're going to find what you need at that time. Now, I continue to work the steps in the big book. So I'm going into my fifth year in recovery. And I am on the fifth time going through the steps. I'm having a whole new experience again with my step four. And let me explain to y'all why I do that. Because I'm being changed. And every time I go through the steps, I'm a different person going through the steps. I see things I've never seen before. I get awarenesses again. And I go through a workshop where we start with a blank big book every time. I don't look at a big book that I already have highlights in. I see a blank page with black words on it. And I have a higher power that does for me what I can't do for myself and shows me things I haven't seen before. So the bedrock of my recovery is the set aside prayer and that intention. You know, I was encouraged when I go through the big book to rewrite the prayers so that they mean something to me. And so the set aside prayer, the intention of that is asking God to set aside what I think I already know. And y'all, I got here already knowing everything I thought. I had no idea what I didn't know. And so as I do that, as I get new awarenesses, as I read those pages that I've read at least four times before, and all of a sudden, it's different than it's ever been. And there are so many promises that I could talk the rest of the day. I'm not going to be able to say half of the things I really wanted to share. But I will tell you this. I look over my shoulder and I see where I started. You cannot get where I am today from where I started. And yet here I am. I can't explain it, except that on a daily basis, upon awakening, I turn to a power greater than me. And I ask for my thinking to be directed. And then I think and I consider my day. And then I trust that I'm going to have intuitive thoughts to guide me through that day. And at the end of my day, I look back and I see God's will was done. Whatever that looks like, I don't have to agree with it or like it. You know, one of the prayers that I heard so much in the beginning, and I would say, God, may your will and mine, may your will, not mine, be done. But I could say that with a clenched fist. And so at one meeting, I heard, God, may your will and mine be one. And oh, I embraced that. I thought, that's my heart. I want my will to be changed, because my will is defective. And left to myself, I self-destruct. I have got to have something outside of me, but that is within me, to empower me to walk this journey. And I just want to read from the forward to the second edition. Yet it is our great hope that all those who have as yet found no answer, if you don't have an answer for your condition, I hope you may begin to find one in the pages of this book and presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. Y'all, I came here to quit eating. I didn't come here to change. But I want you to know everything about me has changed. I went to a family reunion and my family was just gawking at me. And it wasn't just the 90 pounds I had lost. They were going, what has happened to you? You just have this glow. What is it? And I was happy to tell them that God has me on a journey of 12 steps through Overeaters Anonymous that has literally changed everything about me. Y'all, not one thing in my past has changed, but every single thing I now believe about my past has changed. I am free. I didn't come here for freedom, because I didn't know what freedom was. I'd never seen it, hadn't heard about it, never watched it modeled. I'd never known anybody that was free. Everybody was like me. The vast majority of my family have this disease. It was so common and so accepted. Where I'm from, thank you, Karen. Where I'm from, there was no Overeaters Anonymous. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anything about the 12 steps. If you're a newcomer, you're right where you need to be. And I spent a lot of time thinking I should be farther along. I should arrive at something. Time is not a tool. If you're here today, be where you are. Come to these meetings, turn your camera on, participate, join us. Welcome home. We are side by side with you. We're going to love you. We're going to accept you. Where else in the world can you go? What other place can you gather with people of every nationality, from every walk of life, from every part of the world, and be accepted and be home? That's what we offer you right here at Overeaters Anonymous. You know what? I could not keep from sharing what's happening to me if I had to. I have found the cancer of the soul, and that is Overeaters Anonymous. That is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, when we come here like we are, and we walk through this book of exact specific instructions, they are so simple. But they're the hardest things I ever did. My first 4-step literally almost killed me, because I didn't understand what I was doing. And I didn't carefully read this book the first time. I didn't look at guilt, remorse, and shame. I didn't know that me staring at the past and me living in regret, remorse, and shame was the very thing that was going to hinder me. And yet today, 4 years and 2.5 months later, I get up every morning so grateful to be a compulsive overeater, and not because I have this condition, but that I no longer have the hopelessness of this condition. We have a way out. We really do. And it works in every circumstance. I was only in Overeaters Anonymous and abstinent for 3 months when my nephew suddenly died. I was going to go be with my family, who are big eaters. Every one of my alcoholic foods were going to be there. I turned to my higher power. How am I going to do this? In my grief, and then also in my heart to be with my family that I'm very close to. And God gave me specific directions. And I stayed in a motel, not with my family. And I ate before I went together with my family. So simple. I would have never come up with it on my own. And I stayed abstinent. And I got to love on my family, and I got to grieve. And I found out that no matter what, I have a power greater than anything else I'm going to face. And that as I read this book and as I follow these instructions and as I gather with family like y'all to talk about it and share it, and we love each other no matter what, I recover. And time is not a tool. So this morning I got up a compulsive overeater, asking my higher power, what am I going to do today besides eating? And then I get after doing that. I work with a lot of newcomers in the first 12 days in OA through the pamphlet, Where Do I Start? And I know my time is up right now. And I would love to talk to anybody about that. It's a wonderful way to start through your journey here in Overeaters Anonymous. And the big book, it has the answer for everything you're looking for. So thank y'all so much for letting me share. And thanks so much, everyone, for